Thank you all so much for your testimony. God bless you guys. Thank you for letting the Lord use you in everything that He's done in your life. I know He's using you in powerful ways. Thank you, Lisa, for your talents that you use for the Lord. I brought this morning an assortment of creativity with me. And I keep these in my Bible. They mark my place at different times. But this is a bookmark that Christian made me right around Christmas time. And I love it. It reminds me of him. But it's creative. He used his creativity and he came up with that and made me that bookmark. And then here's another one that I keep in my Bible. This one's one that animated me. Christian said Christ, and this one says Derek, and it's got a little ribbon on it. And animated me that one. Very creative. And then I've had this one for a long time. This is Anna's friend Grace Hogan. She made me this one. I like to keep that one in there. It's got the cross on it and a little pineapple. I just like that. And then this one, I don't know who made this one, but we had a friend, Anna had a friend spend the night last night, Leah Grace Borders, and her parents went to Israel and brought this back and gave it to me. And this is from from the Isle of Patmos, where the Apostle John was exiled. And somebody, I suppose, made that. Looks like it's threaded together. An assortment of creativity. Now, if you want to see all that is just human creativity, and it's beautiful, and we love it, and it's all around us. But if you want to see one of God's greatest creations, if you want to see one of His greatest works, if you want to see one of God's greatest masterpieces, I got it right here. That's one of God's masterpieces. That's His creativity. This is what He says is the crown of His creation. That's what you look at if you want to see one of God's greatest masterpieces. You look in the mirror. Because you are His masterpiece. Turn with me to Psalm 139. And if you're new at this, you just open your Bible in the middle and turn backwards just a little bit. And then you'll be in the Psalms. It's spelled P-S-A-L-M. Psalm 139. I think when I was little and first used to see it, I used to think it was Psalms. Anybody else ever thought that? Psalms 139. Let's look at verses 13 through 16. Because in these verses, you will see that you are His masterpiece. God tells us in Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16, He used His servant David to write this, to pen this, but this is what God says. This is His word. Listen to it. Speaking to the Lord, "For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be." Pray with me. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, we have such skewed, sometimes rotten, bad beliefs about ourselves. that are not from you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your truth that each person here is a unique masterpiece, carefully crafted, created, knitted together by you. Oh, Lord, would you open our eyes? Lord, would you help everyone here this morning to dismiss any negative thought or thinking they've ever had about themselves? And would you help them to hear what you say about them, your creation? Lord, get me out of the way. We need to hear from you, Jesus. We need to hear your voice. And we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, as his masterpiece, you can rejoice saying a few things that we notice here in these few verses. As God's masterpiece, you can rejoice saying, first of all, you created me. You can rejoice saying, you created me. We see that right at the beginning in that first verse, 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. He says, you created me. You knit me together. You created my inmost being. So not only was I knit together by you, my whole the whole person of who I am, but you created my inmost being, the core of who I am, my inmost being, the part of me that lives on and on. It's the innermost seat of the emotions, the soul, the heart. God is saying here that He created that. The psalmist is declaring to the Lord, you created my inmost being, the soul of who I am, my spirit, my soul, my heart, whatever you want to call it, the seat of the emotions, the place of moral sensitivity, the heart, the place that God examines when He searches a person, that inmost being. That's not from you. God made that. God created that. Your inmost being, your soul, your heart, your spirit, the place where you make decisions, your will. He created that. And it's the part that lives on and on and on. Though this body may cease, this is the part that lives on. I was a hospice chaplain for a time, and I've had the privilege of ministering to hundreds of people and families that have been at this point where the body ceases and then that innermost being leaves and goes somewhere else. And I've seen it happen. I've been right there when it's happened before. And when you see a person with life and they're talking and they're moving around and there's life there, there's something in them that's making them move around and talk and be who they are and their personality and all of that. There's something in them because at that moment of death, all of a sudden something leaves. And then it's obvious. The body's just there. Something's not there anymore. They're not moving anymore. There's no personality. They're not talking. The body's just there because the innermost being, they have left. They're not there anymore. That's just their earth suit, as I've heard it said before. That's the suit that God has designed and made for us so that we can live in this environment. But your innermost being, that's your soul. That's who you are. That's you. God created that. God made your innermost being. And then He says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Well, Anna's friend that spent the night last night, I'm using her a lot today. I have her permission. But her name's Leah Grace. And I came to one of John Allen's soccer games not too long ago, my oldest son, and her brother Caleb plays soccer with John Allen, and they're just friends of the family. And I saw Leah Grace sitting in a chair, one of those folding chairs at one of the soccer games or a practice. And she was just, she's Anna's age, 10 years old, and she was just going to town, knitting. I said, whoa, what? Show me that. What are you doing? Well, I don't know how many things she's knitted, but this is one thing she knitted. I asked Leah Grace if I could borrow this. This is what she was working on that soccer day. And wow, that's I look very biblical, don't I? Maybe I should keep that. Keep this. But you see, Leah Grace had in mind what she was going to do. At some point, she thought to herself, I'm going to make a scarf. She had that idea. And then she went and she carefully selected some yarn. And I guess she chose the color that she liked. And it's this kind of tan color, and it has some little black speckles in there. And she chose that yarn. And then she had a plan, and somehow she learned how to do this. And then she began to knit, and she began with that first. She told me she has to tie, and some of you ladies know this, but she said she had to tie a knot in that first thing or whatever, and she just started knitting. And then she, after 6 weeks, she knit this scarf. And then we have the end result of this scarf that Leah Grace knitted. Well, God says that I knit you together in your mother's womb. You see, God had this idea about you. He thought you up. He thought of who you would be. He thought of what your name would be and where you would live and how you'd be born into the world. And He ordained all these things. And then He selected your personality and what that would be like. And He selected your eye color and your hair color and your features, what they would look like. And then He selected a set of gifts and talents that He wanted to give you. And He thought He would work all that together. And then He put some passions. He said, I'm going to put these passions in this person's heart. They're going to love these things and they're going to desire these things. And I'll do all that. And then He began to knit. And He knits you together. Where? In the womb, in your mother's womb. And so He put you all together and He got you all ready. And so you were knit together by Him. And so, friend, you are His. You are His creation. You had no part in deciding where you would live, your eye color, your hair color, what you would be like, your personality, what you would like. You are His. You are His idea. He thought you up. He created you. You're His creation. This scarf is Leah Grace's. I've got to give it back to her. You are His. He made you. He made you. Do you acknowledge that? Do you know that? Or do you sometimes take possession of your own life and try to do what you want with it? You're His. You are His creation. Acknowledge that. You are not your own. Colossians chapter 1, I mentioned it earlier, maybe in a prayer. Speaking of Jesus, in that chapter, He says, you were made by Him and for Him. You were made by Jesus and for Him. He made you and thought you up for His good pleasure. You bring Him delight. You bring Him joy. And He made you. Do you acknowledge that? Do you acknowledge that you are His masterpiece? Well, as His masterpiece, you can rejoice saying, you created me. And then also, you can rejoice saying, I praise you for the work that you did. You created me, and I praise you for the work that you did. That's the next thing you can say. We see that in verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I praise you for the work that you did. Let me ask you something. Would you ever say of God, well, God's not that good at making stuff. Would you ever say that to him? Would you ever say that about God? Oh, he's not that good at making stuff. No! We're amazed at the things that God makes. We're baffled by the things that God creates, by the things that God makes, by His creation. We're baffled by the sunsets that He paints in the evening, by the sun rises that He spans across the sky in the mornings, by the mountains. We look at their majesty, by the seas and the beauty of the beaches and the oceans all over the world. And even by your own hand. Have you ever thought of the complexity of your hand? Just lift it up. Just look at it for a second. He created that. Look at, you can move it. You can control it with your brain. That is so complex. That is just unreal. He created that. We are amazed. We're baffled at His creation. The complexity of a cell. This hand is just made up of a whole bunch of cells. Just take one cell and take that apart. And look at all the different systems in that one cell. Wow. We're amazed. I don't think anybody here would say, oh God, He can't make much. He's not very good at making stuff. We're baffled. We're amazed at His creations. And you are one of His creations. You. Your personality, who you are at the core. You're one of His creations. We are baffled by His creations, His masterpieces. Does He ever make mistakes? No. Can He make a mistake? No. Does He ever mess up on His creations? Maybe there's something about you that you don't like. Do you think He messed up? No. He made you just the way He wants you. He doesn't fail at His creations. He doesn't mess up. He doesn't make mistakes. Around, I guess a couple of months ago, Christian was doing a little painting at home, and he was trying to do some trees, and he went over the line in this one area or something like that. And he said, oh no, I just messed it up. And he was upset about it. And I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Christian. I forgot to ask about this one. But anyway, and then I came in there, and I've done painting before and all that, and I know what you can do. So I got a wet paper towel, and I rushed over there and said, no, watch this. And I got to erase that one spot, and then he got to keep painting. But you know, but he made a mistake. And if I didn't know about that water trick, you know, it could have just been ruined. It could have just messed up that painting. Well, that's us. God doesn't make mistakes. His creation is perfect. Everything He does is perfect. His works are amazing and beautiful, and they need to be on display because good work needs to be on display, doesn't it? What happens? We recognize people when they do good work, right? Somebody writes an incredible song and they record this incredible song. What they give, they get a Grammy, right? It's put on display and it's on the radio and it's in different places. And then we recognize them. They get an award for it because good work needs to be on display. So the author gets the recognition. I had a video, but I had the wrong kind of CD, so we weren't able to show it, but we recorded something because Christian had spent a whole bunch of time making these roads out of painter's tape throughout the den and up over the couch. And there was a waterfall and a river and all these Lego men like going down in it. And there was a guy on a skateboard with a clear piece of tape doing a jump and landing on some rails and all these things. And it was pretty amazing. And so we let him record it and go through and do all this. And why did we do that recording? Because it was remarkable. And good work needs to be displayed, doesn't it? A friend of my mom's, Langley Talbert. She's a great painter. She does abstract painting. You might like that style or not. But she does them. And my mom has a couple that she's given her. She grew up with her in Montevallo. And then, but there's a couple of them in the Renaissance Hotel, these huge ones. They're beautiful. And why is it there? Because she did a great job on them. They need to be displayed. Good work needs to be displayed. Now, speaking of you, did God make any mistakes? Did He do anything wrong? Are you His work? Are you His creation? Are you His masterpiece? Yes, you are. The work of Almighty God needs to be on display. You need to be out there. You need to be showing everybody who this person is that God has made. You need to be expressing your talents and your gifts and ability and personality and passions and all that. You need to be you. Because God does incredible work. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you deprive the world when you sit back and if you sit in a shell and you say, "Oh, I don't want anybody looking at me. I'm not much." You are an incredible masterpiece that needs to be on display. How do you feel about the work that He did in you? How do you feel about His masterpiece in you? Well, right here we're told what to do. You need to be praising God for yourself. I praise You, Lord, for me. I praise You that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what you need to do. That's how you need to see yourself. So, as His masterpiece, you can rejoice saying, "You created me. I praise You for the work that You did." And next, before You created me, You saw me and had plans for me. Before You created me, You saw me and had plans for me. Wow, we see this in verse 15 and 16. Notice all the pronouns here. Notice that this is a person speaking before God has even created them. Notice that there's a person before they're even made. Look at all the pronouns. I'll try to emphasize them a little bit. Verse 15 and 16. My frame, it's a person, me. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. And then back in 13, for You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You see all that? This is a person before they're even made. God already knew everything about them, had everything in mind. Before You created me, You saw me and You had plans for me. You know, this is just like an artist, the vision of an artist. I, at one point in time, I guess it was right before Christmas, before last, I had in mind for Anna's room, I saw a picture somewhere and then I got it in my mind. I'm going to do that. And her comforter is like white and it has these brown and green and turquoise polka dots, all over, big polka dots. And I got this idea, you know, I'm going to get like four canvases, little square canvases about that big. And I'm going to paint them just like that comforter. And then I'm going to put white letters on them so it spells her name. And then hang it like right in her room above her so it says Anna, like that. Well, none of that was created yet, right? That's just what I thought that was in my mind. That's what I'm going to do. That was my vision. And then so I went out and I was able to do all those things and paint those things and then give them to her Christmas before last. And now they're hanging in her room. And now it looks like what I thought about. Well, what happened? What happened? Well, there was a vision of the artist. And then there was the careful selection and the work and the creating and the getting together. And then there it is. And then I had a purpose for it, and it was so that it would spell her name in her room. And it's serving that purpose. And now it's spelling her name in her room. And that's the plans I had for it. Well, it's the same with God. He saw you before you were ever created. He saw you. He knew your name. He thought everything out. He thought, here's what I'm going to use them for. Here's what I'm going to do with her. Here are my plans for her. Here are my plans for him. Here's what he's going to look like. Here's what I want him to do. And he decided all that, and then he began to knit you together and create you and made you in your mother's womb. And then we see that in Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God says. Well, let me ask you a question. He's got all this great stuff for you. Have you discovered his plans for you? He's got all this for you. He made you for a reason. Have you discovered it? Well, the final thing I want to share with you this morning is, as his masterpiece, you can rejoice saying, "You created me. I praise you for the work that you did. Before you created me, you saw me and had plans for me." And finally, "Help me to live out your plans for me." Help me to live out your plans for me. I need you, Lord. I need you to help me, to guide me, to direct me, to live out your plans for me. And you need to pray. You need to pray and you need to thank him. You need to pray and just thank the Lord. God, thank you so much for knowing me and gifting me for these plans that you have for me before you even created me. Lord, thank you for knowing me and gifting me and making me, wiring me the way you wanted me, Lord, for the plans that you have for me. And maybe you need to pray this morning. Maybe you're not sure about some of those plans. Maybe you just need to pray this morning. Lord, reveal to me your plans. Reveal to me what you have for me. What are you doing with me? What are you doing with my life? What do you want? What are your plans? What do you desire? And maybe you should stop trying to live your own plans. Maybe you should stop trying to plan your own life and do your own thing and find out why you were created. And pray, God, reveal to me your plans so that I can discover them and then do them. Discover and do. Thank him that you're his idea. You're not your own. Tell him, Lord, I'm open to whatever you have for me. Romans 12:1-2. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Just step in an offering plate and just say, God, you made me, you designed me, I'm yours. I just give you myself. Whatever plans you have for me, whatever you want to do with me, I surrender. Just do it. I give you all of me. I'm a living sacrifice. I'm open to whatever you have for me. Show me your plans that you have, the plans down the road. Lord, I want to see the big picture. Show me the big picture. And then, Lord, show me the steps to get there. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Show me the next step, Lord. Show me that big plan, whatever you're trying to do right now. But Lord, show me the next step. And that's typically what he does. You'll have enough light for the next step. And you know what? You're going to do it. You're going to fulfill his purpose. You're fulfilling his purpose as long as you, moment by moment, depend and trust in him. Moment by moment, depend and trust in him. That's how he gives it to you, one moment at a time. Just do my will this moment, and this moment, and this moment. And you'll fulfill the plans that he has for you. But just take it moment by moment in complete dependence on him. Now, I'll end with this. I went up to Montevallo a couple of Fridays ago, and I was driving up there, and I just noticed just the blue sky and how simple it was. Just this beautiful blue sky. And there was just a few light streaming white clouds. And it was just so simple. And on a drive like that, you don't see city and all that. You just see a few trees and a blue sky. And I was like, oh, Lord, man, why can't life just be that simple? And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart? It is. It is. Life is completely simple. Derek and everybody else here, there's only one thing, there's only one complexity, one thing that you have to do. Follow me. Just do the next thing I tell you to. Just keep your eyes on me. So that's the only complexity of life. Just do what I tell you to. Just do the next thing. We're the ones that complicate life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you so much for your creation, your masterpiece of every person here. Lord, may we see ourselves through your eyes. May we see ourselves how you see us. And may we live it out, Lord. Thank you for the incredible plans, the incredible gifts, everything that you have done in each person's life here and the things that you desire to do in our lives. Help us to follow you in complete dependence moment by moment and not get off track, Lord. And Lord, there might be some that are off track today. And they're just saying, Lord, I see it now. I see what you're saying. I want to be back on track. Lord, anybody who needs to make a decision for you today, Lord, help them to do that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know what decision you need to make, but if you've heard the Lord speak to your heart, if it's to come to Him, it's to give your life to Him, to follow Him, maybe it's to be baptized like this, maybe you've given your heart to Him, whatever it is, just step out of your seat. I want to encourage you to do that. Everybody who ever followed Jesus did it publicly. He'd say, come, follow me, and they just come. So if you hear His voice this morning, if He's calling you to do something or make a new decision or change something in your life or see yourself in a new way, you do it. You make that commitment. And we'd love to hear about it. It's my prayer that if the Lord, if it's His will that He move you, that you come and you share it with us. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. You can do that. Maybe you need to join this church. You can do that during the song as you step out of your aisle and you walk, step out in the aisle and walk down to the front and let me know. Maybe you just need to pray about some of these things. You can do that at your seat or at the altar. Whatever God tells you to do, just do it.